Hello everybody and welcome to Elena's webinar. I think we've done this enough times that I don't need to go through the protocol slides. I do have everybody muted, and if you need to, you can raise your hand or you can send me a chat and I'll pass it on to Elena. Okay? Over to you, Elena.
Thank you, BL. Well, hello everybody. As usual, we will start with a short alignment. So I put up the meditation, the regular meditation on the screen. Please, everybody, make yourself comfortable, quieten the fields, focus the attention in the head, and imagine the light of the soul pouring through the mental body, integrating the personality. We sound the three ohms and imagine the light, the white golden light, illuminating the mental body. Purifying the astral body. Strengthening the etheric body. Visualize the threefold personality as being unified with the white light. In a full integration. Personality soul fusion. See the lower triangle representing the personality with the mental body at the apex and the physical and astral bodies at the base of the triangle with the apex of the triangle pointing upwards. Above the lower triangle, see the brightly lit higher triangle representing the soul with its apex pointing downwards. By an act of the will, see these two triangles merging together and forming a six-pointed star. See the six-pointed star as a shining sun, representing the soul-infused personality. and sound the silent Om to confirm this fusion. Group alignment. Visualize a sphere of pure white light and the group members as miniature shining suns inside and around the sphere. See a sphere of light linking the heart centers of all the group members. Sphere of light linking the head centers. And a sphere of light linking the Ajna centers of all the group members. Imagine the light rapidly circulating through these three spheres and aligning the three group centers. Ajna, heart, and head into one mind, one soul, and one will. To confirm the group alignment, we sound the Om as a group. Om. Thank you. Okay. Well, my plan for today is to finalize the sixth ray Ajna in relation to the sixth ray brain, the pituitary body, which we started in the last webinar, and I'm sure many could have found rather difficult to follow the process there, because for many it was maybe for the first time to look at things that way. Today, what I decided to do is to take the other disciple to compare with CDP, who also had a sixth ray physical body, the brain and the Ajna and the pituitary body. But more in relation to the third aspect, the third ray and the throat center in relation to the sixth ray Ajna, as CDP had it in relation to the second aspect, second ray, and the heart, It is interesting that, you know, DK never does anything by accident. There is always a purpose behind every of his word, sentence, or whatever he does. So here we have two disciples in all the group of disciples with a sixth ray physical body. But following it through two different lines, and that's what I did in, that was my purpose, to go through those two lines of the third and second aspects, through the planes and subplanes. So the other disciple is LFU, which you find his instruction in Dyna 1, page 225. And Dyna 2, page 529. And his three keywords in development formula are love, fearlessness, and understanding. And he was a member of the education group, contrary to CDP, who was in the group telepathy group. He had completely different race structure to the CDP. CDP was predominantly on a 2-4-6 line with a powerful 6 ray on 3 levels. And this disciple is predominantly on 1-3-5-7 line, being a first ray soul, third ray personality, third ray mental body, sixth ray astral, and sixth ray physical. So we have here powerful 3 and 6 ray combinations. He was, I should say that I have studied this disciple maybe 15 years ago or 20 years ago for the first time. And I have my notes which I used for purpose of this, you know, presentation. And I have never constructed or work on rectifying of his chart. We have only available his date of birth. I have made hypothetical chart already then, but I don't want to sort of bringing up in any way, except those points which are relevant to the sixth ray energy on the physical body. He was an accepted disciple who, under training, by Master DK, has moved from the periphery of the ashram to a position closer to the center of the ashram. As we know, a majority of the disciples were on the periphery of the ashram. So he was a little bit further ahead of CDP, who was just taking the final test for accepted discipleship in that life. He overemphasized creativity, the third aspect with that powerful third ray, making it a motive of his life. Now, what I would like to do, I would like to refresh your memory with a reference on the Ajna, on the Ajna Center. Let me find it. It is here. You see it, yeah? This is the only reference which is in relation to the sixth ray Ajna. And we can read it together. It, Ajna, is the organ of idealism. Therefore, and curiously enough, it is related, closely related to the sixth ray. Just as the head center is essentially related to the first ray. The sixth ray is peculiarly linked to the third ray and the third aspect of divinity, as well as to the second ray and the second aspect. It fuses, anchors, and expresses. This is a fact which I have not hitherto emphasized in my other writings. The Ajna center is the point in the head where the dualistic nature of manifestation in the three worlds is symbolized. It fuses the creative energies of the throat and the sublimated energies of desire or the true love of the heart. So you see, even we are differentiating the two aspects, the third and second, they have to be used together. They have to be fused because both of them are necessary in the creative process. We need, in a creation of form, we need the second and third ray together. But in a particular life, as we see with these two disciples, there is a focus on one of these aspects before they are fused together. And we learn to work with them simultaneously. So, the Ajna of this disciple and the pituitary body was also conditioned by the sixth ray, but contrary to the CDP, it was linked more to the third ray, with such a powerful third third ray as in his ray makeup, which is there for a particular reason. And CDP was focused more on the second aspect and the second ray. DK told LFU that the combination of these two six-ray forces conditioning his astral and physical bodies was for him the only point of contact with the second ray force, and that he should cultivate the higher or group idealism. That is why he has to go also through the heart on the second mental subplane, where we find the response to group vibration. Now, I should really show you the chart. I'm not sure which one it is. And it is not that one either. I am having a little bit problem what happened to that chart. BL, can you help in here in some way? Just a moment. No, it is not that.
Well, I'm not sure exactly which chart it is that you're looking for, but if
of the senses from the...
Oh, the one with the senses? Look at the one right next to it. See if that...
I don't have it.
Okay.
Just a moment.
Let me see if I can
just
pull it.
Just a moment. Yeah. Do you try to pull it? Sorry about these people, but I thought it would be better. You see it on the chart. I used it in a last webinar. And with so many charts on my down on my look what I discovered in here. No, is this one, and what is the next one, BL? I can't find it.
I don't know, I'm looking for it. I think I have it as a PDF. And I have it in my Treatise of Cosmic Fire stuff, but that's just the way I kind of do things. Senses and Center.
That is not the one.
Okay, hold on just one second. I'm going to change it over to me for a minute, and then you're going to see it and you're going to say, that's too small. But then we can work on the... Okay.
I'm trying to find old... Sorry about this.
Is this the one you're talking about?
That's the one, yes.
Okay,
that's
so now,
the one.
Now you want me to make it bigger. What area do you want me to concentrate on? The bottom? What level? What plane?
Are the qualities written here, right?
The qualities?
Or the subplanes?
Yeah, they are. You know, like, you mean like spiritual telepathy, response to group vibration,
yes,
spiritual discernment? Yeah.
Yes.
They are.
Okay, bring it up.
Okay. All right, there's the mental plane. Is that what you're looking for?
Well, I haven't, I am not, well, this is not the chart.
Oh. That's the problem. There's so many of them, and they all have something a little bit different on them, don't they?
It's the AAUM chart. Anyway, we're not going to waste time, because then I have so much to go through, and I don't know what happened to the chart which I wanted to use. So I will just basically leave it for the moment. Leave this one here, and if you can find that chart with the senses, it would be great. If not, I will just have to talk it through. So, what I was saying, that DK was telling him to cultivate the higher or group idealism. And that is why he has to go through the heart on the second mental subplane, where we find a response to group vibration, where we also find the heart center, okay? Because it is through this group idealism, his entire personality life expression can arrive at the needed balance, which only the soul energy, soul power can correct, okay? Now, the second or love layer or tier of egoic petals is also ruled by Aquarius and Jupiter as the esoteric ruler of Aquarius. And wisdom, which is the fruit of love, awakens the love petals. Now, we know that the sign of Aquarius is related to groups. So it is not surprising that this disciple, LFU, was born in Aquarius, having to develop or learn the group idealism. He had a Sun-Mars conjunction in Aquarius, the sign of group process and a group development. Okay. As we don't have his chart, we cannot say much, but this is significant enough. And this Sun-Mars conjunction is under strong six-ray energy, where the Sun is veiling Neptune in relation to the second initiation, which he was approaching, and Mars, which is also one of the planets ruling the physical body, is transmitting the sixth ray. So it is a very powerful sixth ray conjunction. Now, the sign of Aquarius is that of water carrier or waters of life. That is why it governs also the blood system and its circulation. Because by means of the blood, the life force is distributed through the whole body. And the blood system is ruled by Neptune. Okay? So Neptune is very strongly related to the Aquarian energy through the waters of life. We are told that the astral energies are emanating from Aquarius as a living and an emotional sign. Very unusual one reference in this connection to the sign of Aquarius. And it is more for the future effect than at present time, only for the disciples and initiates who can respond to that energy. And its effect would be to purify the astral bodies of men, and through the potency of its unifying life will stimulate the astral bodies into a brotherhood of humanity and a sense of universality, both qualities of the Aquarian energy. Okay? Thus we have two aspects of Aquarian energy. One is along the line of feeling in relation to the astral body, and the other of mental understanding in relation to the mental body. Because, you know, Aquarius is known for its being an air sign, for its more mental energies than the feeling or astral energies. Aquarius rules also the physical permanent atom, okay, which is placed on the first physical subplane of first physical ether, indicating the relation of the individual etheric body to the etheric bodies of humanity, and thus the importance of the etheric body upon which the dense physical is constructed. They are literally one. Aquarius is also related to the seventh creative hierarchy that make up or build a physical form. And so, hence the link to the permanent atom in relation to the physical body, which we are focusing on. We are focusing upon the physical body, physical form.
Elena?
Yes?
Excuse me, but I think I found it.
Okay.
Let me...
You can bring it up on the screen.
Okay.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay, where would you like me to go?
Well, if you can make it as big as possible, if not, I would like to see the whole chart. In whatever.
Yeah, see, they can't read it.
Well, can you bring from the astral and mental planes first?
Okay.
Okay.
That's
All right.
there. There we go. There we go.
Okay. And when I was speaking about the response to a group vibration, here it is on the second mental subplane, where we also find the heart center. Okay. Now, we are talking about emotional idealism now, in relation particularly to this disciple, and we need to go through that energy prior to taking to the second initiation. So, following what I'm saying here about the physical permanent atom, which contains all the experiences gained through many incarnations in various different physical bodies, conditioned by various ray energies, giving the physical bodies different physical appearances and qualities. So the permanent atom holds the memories and patterns and of many many lives, and prior to the incarnation the soul selects that quality which is needed or lacking or need to be developed in the coming incarnation. And this lies also behind the freedom of the choice a disciple has to choose a particular ray on any of the three lower bodies. As these two disciples have chosen, they so chosen this sixth ray, conditioning their physical bodies and brains for a particular purpose, and mostly for the purpose of increased or fuller service to humanity. Okay? Sorry, I have a little bit throat affected. Aquarius, as we know, and Uranus are also related to the etheric body. Okay? I need to take a drop of water. Now, the Monady Gray has a patterning effect upon the etheric body, and the petals of the egoic lotus unfold in different order or speed according to the monadic ray. The causal body reflects the monad, and so the etheric body reflects the causal body. So necessarily the etheric body is going to reflect the monadic pattern. And the monadic energy starts to operate around the second initiation, when there is a battle between the desire and the will. That's why the higher will is first time consciously started to be expressed after taking the second initiation. Now, this patterning aspect represents the second aspect of the monad, operating from the second or monadic plane, which is the plane of patterning. So we have a direct relation here between the etheric body, Aquarius, the causal body, and the monad. So we have, after the second initiation, closer to the third, the opportunity to repattern the etheric body through the monadic ray. We must always remember that the etheric body is of far more importance than the physical body, which is just an automat. That's why esoterically it is not considered a principle. A principle is an essential quality, okay? There is an essence upon which all things are built. The physical body, nothing originates there, nothing can be built. There is no essence. It is just an effect of an inner pattern, okay? So we see the underlying importance of the Aquarian energy to the group idealism, and thus also to the 11th house, which is the house of Aquarian energy and conditions the ideals, idealism, wishes, hopes, dreams. Now, LFU had the emphasis on the sign of Aquarius. He was born in Aquarius. And CDP had a powerful 11th house. Here we are. This is a chart of CDP, and we see the 11th house here, where she has 1, 2, 3, 4 planets, including the sun. Okay? She has nothing in Aquarius, but the focus is here, and there is always reason why there is this difference. You see? That in one case, obviously I can't say definitely, because I don't know exactly the chart or of LFU, what he would have in his 11th house.
Let me know when I need to switch it back to your computer.
Yes, thank you. So LFU loved more his ideals than he loved humanity. So these ideals were standing between him and his service to humanity. You see, this is a fundamental cause coming for him, why he needed that sixth ray, brain, ajna, and pituitary body. For both of them, the soul power was correcting energy. That's why both had love as one of the key words in the development formula. And this also brings involvement of Chiron as the healing correcting energy, and we see it here. It's conjuncting the Sun and the Neptune, okay, in that 11th house. Sun representing the personality, Neptune is her most important planet in relation to her Cancer ascendant and her soul purpose, esoteric ruler, right? We will come more in describing these energies here. I'm just pointing that Chiron and its importance here. as a correcting, adjusting energy. Now, group idealism can only be consciously registered when the members of the group are beginning to function on the mental plane, on the higher mental plane, particularly, and develop the capacity to register in the brain that which the soul has imparted to the mind. So we see implication here of the soul mind brain alignment. And as I have already talked about this in some other webinars, that this alignment process is very individual. It doesn't follow any particular order, but it has to come to a full functioning operation at the third initiation. Okay, BL, could you bring that chart again?
Sure, hold on a minute here. It's going to take me a minute to... And while I'm pulling that up, you had a question about the difference between the sacrifice and synthesis petals. If you would explain the difference, please.
At this moment, I don't think so. I will go in that area at this moment. I will probably mention it when I come to the petals of the egoic letters, because it is not relevant to what I am speaking about now.
Okay.
Now, could you make it a little bit bigger, this chart?
Is that big enough, or do you need it bigger? And do I need to move
well,
it?
Well, it will do. It will do. We see that emotional idealism on the first astral subplane. It's the atomic subplane, right? Where we find the head center. Okay? And this head center is reflecting LFU first ray soul. And a higher or Buddhic idealism, if you shift, no, maybe we can see it here. This is a Buddhic plane, and we find the highest idealism on the third Buddhic subplane, where we find the throat center. And that throat is reflecting his third aspect, or powerful third ray energies. It is, you see, it doesn't mean we jump from here, from astral to the Buddhi. We need to go through that where is it? It's so small that I can't see it. Relation to the group vibration. We need to go through the heart. You see, both of them had to go to the Buddhic plane through the heart, which is on the second mental subplane. Okay? Because both were approaching the second initiation, where the major focal point is the transference from the solar plexus to the heart. Okay? So both of them are utilizing the six-ray ajna and the pituitary body in relation. Let me see. You see the pituitary body in this chart. pituitary body is related to the body, which is reflecting the heart center in the causal body. And then we're going to the buddhic plane. Okay? So pituitary body and the sixth ray has to go through the heart and the buddhic aspect. I don't know if I can find the other chart now.
Yeah, see, the other chart has the senses on it, and then it also has the chakras that are related to them. So,
could you put it up, please? Thank you.
I think I closed it. I have to look for it again. Sorry.
This is my fault, basically. Don't know what happened to my chart. Is it this one? No.
TCF. I just have to be smarter than my...
Anyway, LFU was tested in a world of ideas. Okay? His fixed ideas and beliefs were... coming between him and humanity. He was basically under a glamour of idealism. He had a Mars square Neptune, both six-ray planets. He was sacrificing love, the spirit of love, in order to preserve the form of his ideal. And the six-ray brain, the pituitary body, has provided him with a line of connection to the soul and the heart center on that second mental subplane, where we find that response to group vibration. And then the idealism on the buddhic plane. Because the buddhic plane is the first or lowest plane of the four cosmic ethers from where ideas are coming from and descend down and are adapted to ideals. Okay? And where we also find the higher idealism. It is the abstract mind which is the conveyor of ideas, which are transformed by the third degree initiate into ideals for the service of humanity. So he had still far to go to achieve that. He had to utilize the abstract mind. That's why he needed that third ray energy in relation to that abstract mind, but also of soul love, and his only access to it was through the six ray energy. So he was utilizing the third aspect or third ray in relation to the six ray Ajna. Okay? This is the reason why I have in such a detail emphasized the two different lines of the six-ray Ajna in my previous webinar, because I knew that we have two disciples who have six-ray physical body and brain, obviously for different reasons to adjust the energies and develop qualities they lacked along two different aspects, second and third. And through astral buddhic connection, because of the relation of the sixth ray Ajna to love, heart and buddhi. And both had to develop love. We must understand that the heart center was important for both of them, because, as I said, both were facing the second degree. Now, when we are talking about the three higher centers found on the mental plane, which here is the egoic lotus, here are the four lower centers, but they are not listed the three higher centers, but you see the three higher centers are related to the three layers of the egoic lotus.
Do you have a better graphic for the egoic lotus, or you want me to leave this one up?
I think I have left it because I thought I'm not going to use it. So, oh God.
Let's just go with this then.
Here is what Michael sent me. Just a moment. What is this? Okay. I don't know if it's better than it was before, but anyway, when we're talking about the heart center, that is related to the love petals of the egoic lotus, including the knowledge, love, or third petal in the outer layer of the egoic lotus, the sixth or love sacrifice petal, particularly in the love petals, and the sacrifice love or eighth petal coming under the influence of Neptune and Scorpio in the sacrifice petals. And the sacrifice petals represents the head center, and the knowledge petals represents the throat center. So, somebody was asking about these petals, so I'm mentioning them now. That's why I didn't want to talk about them out of context. And to ask about the synthesizing petals is rather premature, and because they are particularly opening up in relation to the appropriation of the Buddhic vehicles and the Buddhic energies, okay, which is quite high advanced development. So, I mentioned these three love petals through the lower layers because they are particularly related to the second initiation, and particularly the sixth love sacrifice petal, which is a very difficult in relation to detachment to the emotional ties, which is a major issue prior to the second initiation. Okay. Now, so for both of them, the response to the group vibration was important, as both of them were responsive also to the intuition and the Buddhic energies, and thus also the heart in the head was also beginning to function. This is other reason for the sixth ray brain, because the heart in the head is conditioned by the sixth ray and Neptune. Okay? sensitivity to the intuitional impressions has to do only with that which concerns the group. And so does the heart center. That's why I am hypothesizing that there is heart center in relation to the force initiation on a buddhic plane. So that's why for LFU, the need to connect to the intuitional energy in relation to his development of group idealism. And so the needed energy of the sixth ray, okay? For him, the sixth ray force had also crystallization effect on all his three vehicles, mental, astral, and physical, which DK was telling him that only a loving understanding, which is a buddhic quality, really, and sacrifice of the life to humanity as a whole can prevent. Now he has strong Mercury-Venus conjunction in Capricorn and Neptune in Capricorn decanate of Taurus, and Capricorn together with the sixth ray, you cannot have more crystallizing force in operation. And just, to give you example, when that crystallizing force is going on the physical body, the growing older, it's speeded up enormously under that influence. Because crystallizing also on the mental body, like in his case, or an astral, was the fixed ideas, crystallized ideas he had about the various idealism which were battling in his astral body. Okay? Both CDP and LFU had a problem with discrimination, and both needed to develop love. I will go in greater details for CDP why she lacked discrimination when we come to the instruction when DK is telling her about it. So he was a mentor type more, and CDP was more a love type. So we see some similarities, but also a major differences here between the two. LFU had, for example, predominance of the air and earth elements, bringing the ideas from the buddhic plane, air, to material expression in the form earth, of high idealism, in the form, in the expression, upon the physical plane, in service. And he had nothing in water element. Now CDP is swimming in water. Let's see her chart. Powerful Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. Triangle in the water signs. Okay? She had a predominance in, as we see here, in fire and water. Okay? So what these two elements producing is the foggy situation in the astral plane. She also idealized those she loved, and through imagination, which is a water element also, creating her ideal or dream, Neptune, 11 house, dreams, wishes, ideals, of a garden, Taurus, on the mental plane, fire. Okay? So behind all this, we find also astrological energies. So ideals, idealism, conditioning by the 11th house. Which has her Neptune in Taurus, sixth ray, idealism, ruling her Ajna. And imagination, which we find on the second astral subplane, where is the heart center. Also the sun, which actually for both of them is veiled in relation to the initiatory process by Neptune. Okay? And that's Chiron being there for CDP as a integrating, fusing, correcting energies. Now, the other energy connected with idealism is Sagittarius. And if you listen to my previous webinars, I have talked about the powerful Sagittarian energy which CDP has. And I wouldn't want to go through it all over again, so basically I just mentioned her Jupiter second ray soul planet is in Sagittarius. Okay? Sun in the Sagittarian decanate of Aries. And Sagittarius at the moment is the major transmitter of the sixth ray, particularly with Jupiter in Sagittarius in aspect to Neptune. By 150 degree aspect, it expands the imagination and the idealism. Okay? So you see her idealism was along the second ray line and the heart in relation to those she loved. She saw them as personalities, not as a souls. She suffered from the glamour and the ideal which she saw. She thought it was the real thing. Okay? And this was a really major problem. The conflict between the soul and personality energies. So, one of the keynotes of Sagittarius is idealism, which is the power to see the vision, Ajna, and to direct our aspiration, another sixth ray, Sagittarian energy, towards that vision under the sixth ray, Mars as a ruler of Sagittarius, which is in here in opposition to that Jupiter, okay, which is the esoteric ruler also of the Aquarian 9 house, which is the Sagittarian house here, okay. And Mars is the ruler of the 11th house, which is ruled by Aries, okay. When we are looking at the physical body, you know, and being told that Mars is one of the rulers of the physical body, that applies to everybody, but it has to be looked at individually. What is the Mars doing for us individually, according to our level of consciousness and a stage of the path? And what we are supposed to be learning through that process, okay? So, I have basically concluded what I started in the last webinar in relation to the six-ray ajna, and now I will discuss more the physical body itself. Okay? Particularly being conditioned by the six-ray. Okay? All this is linked together. We cannot separate anything. Even we are focusing on one particular thing, all these energies are linked together from the higher to the lower. Okay? Because it is the soul which transmits the inner energies through the etheric centers, etheric body to the physical. And that's why even the dense physical is influenced by all the inner energies. So the physical body, we are told there is a group of physical forces which concern purely the form. And these forces are related to the life of the cells which constitute the physical body. And the type of physical body these cell forces produce is dependent upon their quality. Okay? So we can have a very rough course or purify and discipline physical body, depending, you know, upon our stage of development and the ray conditioning the physical body. The cell of life is coordinated and vitalized by the bloodstream, which is ruled by Neptune. Okay? Six ray, water. Even we are told that blood is not water. And, you know, which interpenetrates every part of the physical body, and is responsible for its condition. Now the blood is also ruled by Mars, not a six-ray planet, which in this case for this disciple is very important. We have discussed the Mars in her chart on a number of occasions, being in the critical last degree of Taurus. You know, which can be interpreted in so many levels. And so Mars is also ruling blood and is one of the planets ruling the physical body. And Neptune rules the water and all the liquids in the body, including the lymphatic system. Okay? So the sixth ray physical body would need to be considered in relation particularly to the liquids and how they are represented for CDP. We know that the sixth ray rules the physical body, which is under the influence of her astral body. Okay? We were discussing that already, that even though she has integrated the astral with the mental, it doesn't mean that, you know, that is a final integration and the astral body is still a major problem for her. Okay? But she needed that integration prior to start to build her garden on the mental plane. Because without the integration, it could not possibly happen. So There is an indication here that there was a water concentration in the cells of the physical body, making them weak and sluggish, okay, which was also the reason for her devitalized condition. There also could be disturbance of the water balance in the body, okay. Neptune is placed on Sun, Moon and Earth, Moon midpoints, which are related to the water imbalance, and Chiron conjunct the Sun. And its opposition to the Earth in Libra. Okay? Now, Earth is the ruler of the spleen. Okay? And it's also the major lymphatic organ in the body. So the equilibrium or the balance in the body was disturbed here, okay? It is interesting that Sun and Earth are in aspect to Venus, which rules the fifth house, where we find the Earth and also the Moon, which is conditioning also the physical body. And her Moon is veiled by Neptune. We have already talked about it in other webinars. Okay? And you know, the fifth house is very important house in relation. This polarity of houses 5 and 11 are the major influencing energies for this disciple, okay? From a number of different level of interpretations, okay? What we should focus about that the vitality governing the quality of the blood stream, making its contact via the heart, conditioned by I am looking at the physical level now with everything here, conditioned by the physical Sun. And the heart, which is the center of the existence upon the physical plane, and the vitality or vital life of matter is entirely related to the physical vitalization through the lowest aspect of the seven major centers and all the lesser centers into the human organism through the spleen. So the spleen under the Earth rulership in that Libra is very important, both in relation to her vitality and the vitalized condition, and also to her lymphatic system, okay? And lymphatic system is ruled by Neptune, okay? It appears that the prana from the physical Sun was affected in its free flow through the water-congested spleen. That's the Chiron wound to the spleen there, opposition. And this could also be one of the causes, as I say, to her lack of not only the vitalized condition, but lack of physical etheric integration, which was her life problem. Okay? So, you know, the the organ of the spleen has a correspondence to the umbilical cord, which attaches a child to the mother for the purposes of nourishment, cancer, and which is separated at birth. Now here we have a very interesting and important analogy to CDP's attachment to her children, fifth house, and her inability to free herself from ties to all she loved, all her relationships. So we see the earth in the fifth house, spleen, and moon representing the mother and the fifth house of children are all together implicated in this process. A moon as the ruler of the dense physical body, of course it rules, we can say it can rule the whole personality also. And that's why it also indicates the area where the prison of the soul is found. Right. Prison represents the confinement from which there is a very difficult to escape. And her physical body was a prison for her. You know, she suffered from the glamour of physical body. She thought she had much more problem with it than actually was the reality. As DK was telling her that she had no organic problems with her physical body or any disease. It didn't help really. That's how powerful glamour can be. And you know the moon is one of the rulers of her soul purpose, ascendant Cancer, right? So it's a very important planet for her, as I say, from a number of levels, and so indicates obstacle, a major obstacle for fulfilling that soul purpose. Okay, now a prison is astrologically related to the 12th house, okay, where we find also the planet Mars, which also is one of the planets ruling the physical body, and both Mars, Neptune and Moon are related to the sixth ray because the Moon veils Neptune also for her. Okay? So powerful sixth ray and Piscean energy, Piscean house, Moon in Piscean decanate of Scorpio. Okay, Saturn is another planet which we could consider, but I'm leaving it out for the simplification purpose at the moment, which is, you know, that's the dweller, major dweller, the personality in Pisces. So we have a strong relation here between the moon in that Piscean decanate Scorpio and Mars, which rules Scorpio, is in a Piscean house. Okay? And it also ruling that 11th house, Aries house for her. The moon is also ruler of the first house, which is the first house. It's also conditioning the physical body and the personality, the persona, the mask. That's the first house. Okay? So the moon, you know, is very important in relation to the physical body also from the perspective of the first house. It is an Aries house, okay, in reality. So we have a number of relationships through the Mars and that Aries 11th house to the first house, okay? And also to the blood and the lymphatic system, we have, you know, the Mars and Neptune relationship through the sixth ray. Nothing can be, we can look, as I said, at each detail or part, but eventually we need to synthesize all these parts into the one whole, synthetic whole. So when we are considering the physical body, we need to evaluate very carefully the first house, which represents also the physical body. Actually, you know, some people divide the houses one way or the other, and the first house could be a mental house or, you know, some other. But basically, for this purpose, the first house is first of all considered in relation to the physical body and the personality as a whole. Okay? And we need to consider the exoteric ruler when we are dealing with the appearance of the physical body and its placement. So in relation to CDP, we would need to look at her appearance from three rulerships here. The moon in relation to Cancer, and the Neptune Scorpio energy in relation to Mars, and the Piscean decanate in relation to Neptune. So it is not only the moon as a primary ruler of that first house, which gives the appearance to the physical body, but all these rulers. And if she had the second decanate of Cancer rising, we would need to consider the moon and Pluto as the ruler of the Scorpio decanate, you see, because both are influencing the physical appearance as the rulers of the first house in that case.
Notice the time.
Notice the time. Well, there is no way I'm going to finish this on this webinar. It doesn't matter if I stop here now or later. I wouldn't be able to finish maybe for another a half an hour or so. So I leave it to you, BL. We can close the webinar, and I will continue in the next webinar and concluding looking at the first house, where I will be focusing on the sacred and non-sacred planets in relation to the houses of the personality and in relation to the physical body. Okay? It's, you know, so we better close it now.
Okay. I'm looking, I think I've answered a couple of questions that you had, and I will send those to you later. I don't see any hands or any other questions, so.
Yes, if anybody has a question now or any comments, you know, please share your ideas or.
And they can always email you before your next webinar and ask questions.
Yes, especially when there is such an advanced question as to the synthesizing petals. Yes.
Okay, great. There was another question about the heart and the head.
Yes. That is also an advanced question, but I have mentioned the heart in the head. And it is only operating in relation to the group and to the buddhic energies. So it starts to be activated, you know, at a quite high stage of development.
Okay, well then, I will say goodbye to everybody and to you, Elena, and I will work with the recording that I have and get that to Brett. So.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for your patience. With little bit, you know, I messed it up here with the chat, and I have little bit sore throat here, so a little bit upset energy around in my field. So I apologize for that.
And you got another comment. Thank you for another intense study. And that, I think that's true for all of us, whether we're beginners or have been doing it for a long time. It is in fact intense study, but I think it's well worth it. So, okay, well, thank you everybody. I am going to end the webinar now. Bye.